This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP-180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. It's Cake, CB, and JP. And joining us right now, like he does every Friday, on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. And he's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf. On and off the course, golf them, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're doing okay. I'm seeing that you're tweeting about your friend John McNamara, yeah. Who was one of the victims yesterday, or just tweeting a few minutes ago.
I just found out. I came downstairs and was reading the paper and came in here to talk to you guys and went online and found the news about John being one of the victims. I've known John since I was a young reporter at the Post. He worked there part-time. And he was somebody I'd always run into at Maryland games and talk to. And in fact, I just had a tweet from him maybe 2 days ago about a piece I wrote on David Faraday in Golf Digest. So it's pretty stunning news. The whole thing is stunning, what happened yesterday. And Rob Hyacin, who's another one of the victims, who's Carl Hyacin's brother, was a client of Chris, my wife, at ICM. So it's a very sad house this morning, to be honest with
it's
you guys.
Awful.
It really is.
It's awful. It's nauseating. I don't even know how to talk about these kinds of things. You know what?
You're right. You make a great point. I mean, what are you going to – I said to Chris last night when she found out about Rob, and she was just crying uncontrollably, and I said to her, there's nothing I can say. There's just nothing you can say.
Yeah, it's the worst. But you know what? One thing that did jump out at me amidst all this craziness is, and we all have a ton of respect for journalists. I mean, we're not journalists, but we're friends with journalists, and it's something that I've been a part of and loved my entire life, reading the Washington Post my entire life. I read the Washington Times, USA Today. I read
reading
all of
it,
them.
Delivering
all
as a
that.
Kid.
It's part of my life. I love journalism. I thought I would be a journalist someday. But when I saw that these guys, and I think John used to work at the Bowie Blade, which is a huge paper in our community where we grew up. When I saw that these guys at the Gazette are making like $30,000 a year, you're talking about people that are truly doing what they love because they're not doing it for money.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I was thinking about John the last few minutes just before I came on, and John was a guy who loved doing what he was doing. He was a lifer. He wasn't one of those guys who wanted to be on television or wanted any glamour. He loved covering Maryland, his alma mater. He loved going to games. He had a deep understanding of sports. I said in my tweet that John was one of those guys I looked forward to seeing at a game, not just because I liked him, but because we'd sit down and talk, and he would always say something that made me think. Geez, I hadn't thought about that. Geez, that's a good point. Gosh, that might be a good story. He was devoted to journalism, and God, I'm going to try to get through this. The fact that the Capitol put out a newspaper today tells you the devotion that 99% of the people in journalism have to their craft. I know people like to take shots at the media, and we screw up. We make mistakes. There are bad people in media, like in any walk of life. But almost everybody I've ever worked with, almost everybody I've ever known, competed against in journalism is devoted to the craft, is devoted to trying to do the best job they can. And John certainly defined that.
It's awful, unspeakable. I'm sorry that you're so connected. I know many people in our business were connected, especially to John. So it's just an awful, awful thing.
Yeah. Well, when I first heard of the shooting, of course, your first thoughts are, God, were there people I know?
Of course.
And I thought about Bill Wagner, who covers Navy, who fortunately tweeted right away. Mm-hmm. But again, I had no idea about John until this morning, because obviously it's taken a while to identify the victims.
Yeah, it's awful. Well, we could try to pivot. I know it's going to be difficult, but we could try.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, we all know that you're not a big fan of Tiger, but he is hosting the event this week.
Yep.
And what is fascinating to me is just the absolute lack of star power at this event beyond Tiger. The fields there, I mean, is so mediocre. I don't want to trash
it's
the
like
event
a web.com
because I'm
field.
Yeah, I don't want
for Tiger and Ricky Fowler and that, you know, Billy Horschel, who's, you know, one that won the FedEx Cup a few years back. There's a few very good players, but you're right.
Yeah.
And I wrote a piece for golfworld.com that went up on Monday. It is basically an obituary for the tournament.
Yeah.
And it's stunning to me, and I think to almost everybody around here, that given what this event was in 2007 when it arrived, it was going to be one of the tour stops. It was going to be like the Memorial. It was going to be like Arnold Palmer's tournament at Bay Hill, because Tiger was such an iconic figure at that point. He'd already won 12 majors, and he was 31 years old, and had transformed the sport in so many ways. And everybody came and played that year. It was at Congressional, great golf course, and also it was Tiger Woods. Phil Mickelson came and played. He and Tiger certainly weren't friends at that point. Everybody played, and you thought, oh, well, this is going to be the way it's going to be. Finally, we've gotten the golf tournament in Washington that we deserved. Because for years, the people of the Kemper tried so hard all those years to put on a great event. But the tour insisted on moving from Congressional to Avenel. That hurt the field. And Davis Love had the great line years ago when he said, Avenel's not a bad golf course unless you got to drive by Congressional to get there.
Right.
And then the date kept bouncing around, and that hurt the field. And then here comes Tiger riding in on his white horse. And then the accident happened at the end of 2009. And then Tiger started to have his injuries. And then Congressional was told by the USGA, hey, if you want another U.S. Open, you can't be hosting an annual tour event. So they began to pull away gradually. It wasn't going to be till 2020, but they were going to have to find another home for the tournament. And by the way, Avenel, with the renovation, is a good golf course.
It's a difficult
golf course.
It's not
great, but it's a good, solid golf course. And but Tiger lost interest. That's what big part of the problem, because, you know, he got the event in L.A., which is a more established event. I mean, they've been playing the event in L.A. since 1926. They played at Riviera 44 of the last 46 years. It's an iconic major championship golf course, just like Congressional is. So he's got the L.A. event. He's got his exhibition in the Bahamas. So this became less of a priority for him. And I wrote in the Golf World piece a scene that I happened to witness in 2015, which is the last time he played before this year, out at RTJ. And he had played very well in the second round. He shot 66. He was in contention. I think it was T4 after that round or something. And it was lunchtime in the players' dining area. And it was packed, of course. And Tiger's sitting alone at a table at the back of the room. And when he finished eating lunch, he got up and he had to walk the length of the room to get out. He didn't look left. He didn't look right. He didn't say hello to anybody. He didn't stop and say, hey, how's your week been? Thanks for being here.
That's the host.
Being the host, exactly. It would have taken him 2 or 3 minutes. And I remember one of the guys I was sitting with at the table, who I won't name because he is playing this week, looking at the rest of us and saying, ladies and gentlemen, your congenial host, Tiger Woods. And that's the thing. If you want to be a host, you got to work to get a field. I mean, Nicklaus always worked to get a field. Palmer always worked. They made the guys who came and played feel like, hey, it's a big deal to me personally that you're here. And Tiger has never done that because that's not who he is.
Yeah, and the field has suffered. I mean, I'm just stunned. Even the crowd following Tiger, I've never seen
such huge.
Yeah, it's the smallest I've ever seen. I mean, if you want to go out, I mean, and see Tiger, go. You'll get
close. This
is
a good time to do it. Yeah, you're right. And you know what? For the sake of the event, thank goodness Tiger made those two late birdies yesterday. Because if he doesn't make the cut today, and he should, he's playing early, the golf course should be there for him. But if somehow he has a bad day and doesn't make the cut, there are going to be hundreds of people out there Saturday and Sunday because it's going to be hot as hell.
Yeah.
And if he's not there, Ricky Fowler ain't bringing a crowd, fellas.
Right.
He's just not.
Right. Are you paying any attention at all to the Nats' struggles? They
sure.
lose again.
I watch baseball every night. Absolutely.
They've been shut out a bunch, seven times this month? They got a couple hits yesterday, whatever, but it's still.
That series against Tampa Bay was stunning.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I'm trying to stay optimistic because I do believe there's just too much talent in this roster to continue like this, and they're kind of like at their bottom, and this is
yeah.
a good time to beat on them. But I do think they'll bounce back. But to what extent, I don't know. Who did we have on? It might have been Barry Svrluga or somebody else that we had recently who pointed out that, you know, in those years that they missed the playoffs, it just was like this. In the years where they made the playoffs,
they've been front runners.
They never bounced back. They were either like in first place all year or they just didn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's baffling to me because, look, the Braves and Phillies are better, but they're both very young teams. They don't have depth. Neither one of them has depth yet in their pitching staffs. You know, the Nats are facing a guy tonight whose ERA is like 4.6. You should be able to hit a guy like that. I think it's Pivetta. And they should, you're right, they should still win this division. They should still win this division. You know, the excuse early on was the injuries. They did have injuries. Injuries are part of sports. I'm baffled by Bryce Harper. He's been hitting the ball a little better lately. I have to think he's going to come out of it. I mean, this is a guy who was an MVP mm-hmm. a few years ago. Maybe he's trying too hard because of the contract situation. I don't know why. He's going to get an incredible amount of money no matter what he does at the end of the season. So there are some baffling aspects to this. And, you know, Scherzer's been great. Now Strasburg's been on the DL for a couple weeks now. He hadn't been great before that, though. I mean, he was okay, but I think his ERA is like 3.3, 3.4, which is okay, but it's not overwhelming, especially in the National League. I think I'm like everybody else. I'm kind of baffled. But this team should still have enough to win the East. They should still have enough to win the East. But if they win the East, what happens when they get to postseason? Because we all know with teams that have played better than this, what's happened in postseason. And I'm like you guys. I still think they win 90 plus games. I still think they win the division. But again, the big question, as always, with this team is going to be October.
John, let's talk caps for a second here. Devontae Smith-Pelly turns down more lucrative deals mm-hmm. to sign a one-year deal with the Caps. Reports are that Kempney's about to sign a multi-year deal for
right.
less money that he could have gotten elsewhere. Brian McClellan is pretty much keeping the band together to hopefully make another deep run next postseason.
Yep, he has. I wish there was a way for the Islanders to get their hands on Brooks Orpik because he would be a great add to any locker room. I think that's a bigger loss than people know. It was necessary. I understand why McClellan did it and why he traded Grubauer because he needed the money to sign these other guys. But Orpik's one of those guys who he's a glue guy. I mean, he was a glue guy with the Penguins. It was a great signing when they brought him here. You don't look at his numbers to judge his value. That's a loss. And we don't know if Todd Reirden, who I still assume will be the coach, will bring the same kind of leadership to the room that Barry Trotz did. Those, to me, are a couple question marks. But you're right. Carlson's coming back. Smith-Pelly, who was a valuable guy, is coming back. Kempner's coming back. The Stars are all signed. Now that Carlson signed. So they should be in good position. But the thing you have to remember about hockey is you just don't know from year to year who's going to have the hot goalie, who's going to get on the roll. You know, look at Oregon State winning the College World Series last night. You know, they win easily. When if Arkansas is able to catch a foul pop on Wednesday night, Arkansas wins. That's the way sports is. And, you know, with the Caps, they're down 2-0 to Columbus. What if they don't win that game 3? What if they don't win game 6 and 7 against Tampa? They did. Sports is full of ifs, so it doesn't matter. They did, and they won the cup. But even if you bring your team back intact the next year, it's not a guarantee that you have ultimate success. They're still going to be good. We know that. But I don't think people around here should start planning next year's parade just yet.
You know, one thing, though, real quick, and we'll let you go. One thing that the Caps, run did do for me personally, and I think maybe it will extend for other fans, is it gave me patience. Because now I see, you know what, you don't have to, you know, run away with everything, be an overwhelming favorite. You know, you can get hot at the right time. It's giving me patience with the Nationals. And I think it might give me patience with the. It might give us all patience here, so we don't have to just pounce on these teams when they initially struggle and then just write them off, which I think a lot of us are guilty of here.
Yeah, and I don't think you're alone. I mean, remember when I came on with you after they lost game one to Columbus?
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, look, it's one game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a long series. I think the test is still going to be the Penguins. I still believe they're good enough to get by Columbus. You should have seen some of the tweets I got that day saying, you don't know what you're talking about. This team always chokes. I mean, you know, they lose game one at home. Look at how they lost the game. That's fans do that. Fans just do that. You know, they overreact. It's human nature. I certainly get that. You know, and it's not just fans, by the way. Jim Valvano used to tell a very funny story. He had an assistant named Tom Abetamarco, who was once here with Lefty Driesell, one of the classic lifer assistant coaches, although he was a head coach for a few years. And Valvano used to say that when the game started, you know, the game would start and they didn't win the tip, and Abetamarco would go, oh, Jesus, we're not ready to play. We're just not ready to play. And then somebody would score and on inside on Cozell McQueen, who was the center on the national championship team. He said, Co's not ready. We got to get him out. He's killing us. He's killing us. So it's not just fans. It's just human nature that you tend to overreact, especially if you sense that things are going in the wrong direction. And you're 100% right. The thing to do is, you know, like people always want me to make predictions on outcomes. And I always say, why don't we just sit back and watch and see what happens. And at the end of the week, whether it's a golf tournament or whatever, we'll have a story to tell. And that's what we all do. That's right. What all of us in journalism, I'm going back to John now.
Yeah.
All of us in journalism try to do. We try to tell stories.
John, thank you. I know it's a difficult day for a lot of people, especially you and your family. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Have a good weekend.
Sure,
all right. You too.
Take care.
Soon.
All right.
Best-selling author John Feinstein. Remember, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Julie Donaldson's going to join us, and we have comedian Tammy Pescatelli in studio here on The Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8:45, give you a chance to win some tickets to go see Nicki Minaj and Future at Capital One Arena. We also have tickets to the MLB All-Star Fan Fest. We'll do that at 8:45. 9 o'clock, Julie Donaldson from NBC Sports Washington is going to join us. She hosts Fair Play Youth Sports in America, new special coming out, which I believe premieres tonight on NBC Sports Washington, 10 p.m.
Nice.
There were some interesting comments from Hope Solo yesterday about soccer. She was railing into, you know, the United States didn't qualify for the World Cup this year, and she was railing into the youth setup in America, saying it was too expensive. And I was thinking, well, soccer's not that expensive, you know, compared to some of these other sports. But I think what she was saying is when you get to that elite level and the travel level,
academies
and you're having to go to
the
tournaments and all that stuff, it could get as high as, you know, $15,000 a year is the number that she said. Whereas the average number, like if you look at the studies, is less than $1,000.
Well, yeah, if you just play at a rec level, any sport, it's fine. Maybe not hockey, but if you want to play at a travel level, any sport, it's going to cost you. It could easily get into the $10,000+ range.
Yeah,
so easily.
We could talk to Julie about that.
It does.
So we'll get into that at 9 o'clock. Comedian Tammy Pescatelli is going to join us in studio at 9:20. But I believe right now we're going to dive into EB's entertainment page.
All right. Can I hear the music, Valdez?
Sorry, I got distracted by Tiger.
Is Tiger on the course presently at the Quicken Loans?
Yes. He teed off at 8:20.
Okay.
How was his opening
tee
shot?
I'm sure he'll keep us updated.
He hit the stinger. He started on 10. And if you're familiar with the course, you know it's the tight par 5. And he hit his stinger, and he's in the middle of the fairway.
That's good, because yesterday he was missing the stinger both ways. Missed one right, missed one left. That's not a good. When you're pulling out your layup club, and you're, you know, not your layup, but, you know, getting the fairway club, and you're hitting it right and left, that's not good. I don't know here. What do we want to do? The lead story that Valdez has is Drake, and I am a Drake fan, believe it or not, somewhat.
Yeah, his album dropped last night.
We could start with that. So he's got a new album, Scorpion, And I guess Valdez has a bunch of clips there. It's a double album.
So the God's Plan song, which you hear on the radio all the time, that's from a different album?
No, it's on that album.
Okay, because I'm like, he's cranking them out quick.
Oh,
yeah?
He cranks out so many sillies.
But I think he knew that was a silly, and he just put that out.
They put out singles all the time.
This one's so good, I have to put it out now.
You can't just wait for albums to put out songs. You just have to, in that
world. Well, people don't buy albums anyway.
You just have to put out the single. As soon as you have it, you just put it out there. And then if you put it on an album later, you can. But he's officially released his new album, Scorpion, the double album. Features Jay-Z. Somehow they've got old Michael Jackson riff in there.
So wait a second. Hold on.
Nicki Minaj.
Are you telling me that people don't line up at the Waxy Maxies in their neighborhoods anymore for the latest Def Leppard release?
No.
I did that back in the day.
They don't even buy them on iTunes anymore. They just stream. People just stream.
I know. It's wacky.
Think about when was the last time you went to your iTunes, or I'm a Google Play guy, or Amazon. I do Amazon Music. And have bought an album.
It's been quite a while.
I do Pandora.
And it's probably been 2 years.
And I was an Apple Mark. I used to just had a Nubs iPod Shuffle. Nubs, tiny. I mean, the size of a postage stamp.
Yeah, but it worked.
I'd put a few songs on it, like if I went out for a run.
But
it
used to be the bit, like when a new album would come out on Tuesday or whatever, you would if it was something that you wanted, you know, you would just download it.
Yep.
Forget about buying it. We stopped buying those 10, 15 years ago. But for the previous 7 or 8, we used to just download the songs and buy them.
Do you still have CDs?
I still keep them out of nostalgia. Like, I'm sure JP's throwing his away, but I still keep them. It's hard for me to throw those away.
Still have mine. Of course I have mine.
Because I haven't uploaded and saved them all. I feel like I should have them saved somewhere. Well,
the streaming services allow you to compile every single album that you have.
Of course, you don't need it, but it's just something nostalgic about having them. I don't know. They meant something to me. I can remember. I'm sure you guys can, too. A lot of those albums, I remember sort of where I was, what was going on in my life when
they're
I bought it.
They're autobiographical.
They are.
It is.
And like back in the day, they were like $17.99. So it's almost like you're just throwing away $20 that you spent.
Yeah, but now it's worth 50 cents.
Like if you say they're nostalgia, where do you keep them? Like do you see them?
I know you're ridiculing me. People do keep things
I understand
for nostalgia
you keep
purposes.
Them. Of course, I do. Yesterday, I actually organized.
But not like everything I keep is on display.
I have all of my kids' report cards, and I have them organized, and I have things like that. But
you organize your kids' report cards? I look at them and say, that looks really good. Way better than mine back in the day. And they
pitch
go,
it.
No, yeah, I just put them in order. Like I have like a
Kelsey
file.
In like Manila folder or something.
Yeah,
we do stuff like that too.
I mean, it's just, I have like all the birthday cards and stuff like that.
I have a big crate. It's not even a crate. Whatever you call those. Big plastic container with all our CDs. Bin. And I have it in my office behind a closet door.
Right. But my point about the nostalgia would be, generally speaking, nostalgia is good when you can actually access it. You see it, then you would think about it. But if it's in a box like in a basement or something that you never even open.
No, well, I'll occasionally. Well, I don't know. I have pictures in a box. I have thousands of pictures. I'm not going to throw those away.
No, but I imagine you go back to them every once in a while.
I have them in I have the same thing. I have them in a big, what do you call those things again?
A container. Bin, like a bin.
Big bin.
A plastic bin.
And I have them underneath, and you know, every once in a while, like on my dad's birthday, I'll go through it, I'll pull them out, and I'll try to find a new picture.
But I agree with you. Nobody's buying anything anymore because you have streaming services. You can listen to stations. You can make your own station.
My kids have begged me for probably the last 3 years. They say, Dad, it's only like $9.99. They want the premium. The premium Spotify.
Right.
They said it works with, 5 accounts? Because they're so pissed.
Skip the ads.
They can't skip the ads. And they've begged me for it. And
holding out?
For some reason, I'm holding out. I spend money pretty liberally.
Right.
We're in a business that relies on ads. So support
Absolutely.
Ads here and
so
there.
So many ads.
I
want to do more ads.
I just bought a subscription to a website that I almost never go to. But I want to have it just when I want to have
Brazzers.
It.
Brazzers.com.
Like, no,
Bang Bros.
No, it's not an adult website. It's a lacrosse website, but it's like $8 a month, and I'm going to go there once a month. But when I do go there, I want to have the access. And meanwhile, my kids use Spotify every day, all the time. That's all they do. They go, as soon as they get in the car, they
so
Bluetooth.
So you're a squeaker in that department.
Squeaker court in session again.
You know what? For other people, not for me. I'm kind of selfish that way.
By the way, speaking of squeakers, I finally emptied my reduced fat milk container for my third serving of the week.
Nice. All right, so let's play some of the Drake stuff. Apparently, the big news that's out there is, remember he got in that beef with Pusha T, and I know you don't care about
it. I don't remember that, thankfully.
No, we talked about it. But, he kind of outed him for having a kid that, that no one knew about.
Right.
He finally acknowledges the child, I believe, in this track right here.
Yeah, on two songs, March 14 and Emotionless. So I think this one's Emotionless.
I know another girl that's crying out for help, but her latest caption is leave me alone. I know a girl happily married till she puts down a phone. I know a girl that saves pictures from places she's flown to post later and make it look like she's still on the go. Look at the way we live. I wasn't hiding my kid from the world. I was hiding the world from my kid, from empty souls who just wake up and look to debate until you staring at your seat.
So anyway, to get into that stuff, he has some great songs.
Of course, I was a fan of Drake before. I know you just kind of got on him recently. Mm-hmm. A fan of his previous songs and some of his songs back in the day, but that particular
play nice for what
one wasn't
nice
very good
song.
This one's March 14.
Yeah. Yesterday morning was crazy. I had to come to terms with the fact that it's not a maybe. That it's in stone. Still the sign. She not my lover like Billie Jean, but the kid is mine. Said he used to tell me all it takes is one time, and all it took was one time. We only met two times, and both times were nothing like the new times. Now it's rough times. I'm out here on front lines just trying to make sure that I see him sometimes. It's breaking my spirit.
Now, I don't care about the biographical stuff. Just play the hits. That's not a hit. Play Nice For What for me. Go find it. Just play a radio edit, Nice For What. That's a legit song. Get psyched for that. Turns me on. The Rock and Under Armour, they've teamed up. I didn't know this was an issue, Cakes. They've teamed up for sweat-proof gym headphones.
Okay. I'm interested.
Is that the feature is an anti-slip and sweat-resistant liner on the ear pads.
I think that's big.
I guess so, which keep them from moving out of place. That way you don't have to worry about them falling off, and instead you can better focus on your form. So there you go. Under Armour getting into the headphone game.
Hey, I like it. Branching out.
I know you like that.
Trying to get more revenue streams, EB. You know this.
I know you like this story. Earlier this month, the events group Menage Life had a sex festival, Cakes.
This is somehow my story.
This is your story. They told Las Vegas Weekly that Japan had apparently set the record for the largest sex romp with 500 people, basically an orgy.
Wow!
In 2006,
quite a number.
They were planning to break the record. They had 1,000 anticipated participants in their 5-day sex festival called Sin City 8. Unfortunately, only 375 people showed up.
They fell short of the number
for the sex party, and they still had fun, but right. They didn't set the record.
Now, could you only be Japanese, or could people fly in from all over the world?
Oh, I think you're welcome from anywhere.
Was Robert the mailman there?
Oh, you're joning.
We've heard about it. He's talked about.
Well, a lot of guys around here like to travel alone.
Hey, who doesn't like to book a sex trip?
It's called sightseeing,
then.
EB.
Right, seeing the world.
A lot of sights.
Yeah.
I think everybody has sort of their own sort of fantasies. But a sex romp with 500 people?
Yeah.
I don't think that would be one.
Probably not.
500 just dirty, gross, disgusting. Because you know they're not hot.
499 of them are dudes.
Right, exactly.
That also ruins it, too.
I don't know why it popped into my head the whole Bucky situation when he was on the set.
When Bucky
that still
did
is amazing.
Bucky did it. My friend Bucky, our friend Bucky, did a little adult content, and he wore a mask. And then halfway through, the mask kept falling off. He needed Under Armour.
He needed the sweat-proof mask.
I think he also needed
and then he just ripped it off.
He also needed a blue pill, from what I heard.
I think it took a while.
I mean, you're on a set with a bunch of people you don't know, wearing a mask, strangers.
The set is a stretch. They were in a backyard. Well, some loser's house. They were on the deck of some loser's house.
Sorry, Bucky. I apologize.
Getting after it. Buck is now a father. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I don't know if I should even put that out there. But
did not know that.
Yeah.
Now the world knows.
He's a
it.
Worker. He's a semi-pro poker player. Now he's a father.
Responsible young man now.
Good for him. Well, he's not young.
Not that young anymore. Yeah. Buck has got to be close to 40.
Right. All right. Coming up next, give you a chance to win some great prizes. We have tickets to go see Nicki Minaj. In future, we also have All-Star Fan Fest tickets. 800-636-1067. We'll come back with the morning matchup here on the Junkies.
Louisiana, murder on the beat. Something for y'all to cut up to, you know. Yeah. Everybody get your roll on. I know shorty and she doesn't.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Time now for the morning matchup. We're going to play the birthday game, the Junkies version of the birthday game. They're going to challenge a junkie.
Yep.
We'll throw out a celebrity, and whoever's closest to the age wins. If you win, you can win tickets to go see Nicki Minaj in future at Capital One Arena. We also have a pair of tickets to the MLB All-Star Fan Fest coming up.
All right, let me see here. Let's go to 10.
That's actually going to be exciting. A couple weeks, All-Star game coming here.
I know. I was talking to a buddy of
There'll
mine.
There'll be some buzz probably in about a week.
There's zero buzz right
Still
now.
Still 2 weeks away.
Yeah, but it's been a big thing that we've been looking forward to. And that cap, I'm telling you, the cap screwed us all up. They got us all out of sorts. We haven't been able to focus on stuff.
I think you
got to
get beyond the 4th of July. Then after the 4th of July, then maybe we'll start kind of paying attention to the All-Star game coming to D.C.
Yeah.
And, of course, the opening of Audi Field.
That should be huge. Should be
huge. With Wayne Rainey.
All right, let's go to Tim in D.C. Tim, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, what's up?
How are you, pal?
Hello, sir.
Who would you like to challenge in the birthday game? The Junkies
version. Let's go with Cakes.
Cakes, you fancy yourself a big-time investor.
Wow, I'm a very small fish.
You talk about your stocks, your Bitcoin, things like that.
Haven't talked much Bitcoin lately.
Maybe the most famous investor is Warren Buffett.
Okay.
I will let our contestant lead off. Tim, how old is Warren Buffett?
Ooh, I'm going to say 79.
Oh, he's way older than that. Now, I could be wimpy and just guess 80, and I know I win, but I'm not going out like that. I'm trying to guess his exact age, and I'm going to give this donk a chance to win. Warren Buffett, I believe, is 89 years old.
He's 87,
oh, so,
but
so
you're still
wins.
A winner.
Oh, so it's close still, so I win. Yeah.
You could go over.
You can go over. It's not like the price is right. You can go over. It's just closest to.
All right, let's go to Billy in Germantown. Hey, Billy, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Pal. Who would you like to challenge in the Junkies birthday game?
Let's go EB.
All right.
All right, EB, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
All right. In the news here, arrived in D.C. yesterday, Wayne Rooney, your newest member of D.C. United, British soccer player. Billy, how old is Wayne Rooney?
Let's go 27.
Well, he's going to lose because I think I know it. I think I know it exactly. I think he's 32.
He's 32 years old.
Yeah.
By the way, did I read that Wayne Rooney has more Twitter followers than every major team put together, plus every player from every major team here in D.C. put together?
That's crazy.
I mean, think about that.
How many does he have?
I'd have to look it
up. I think it's 17 or 18 million.
17 or 18 million, yeah. You figure half of them are bots. That's still 8 or 9
impressive.
Million. It's a lot. I know for a fact half of mine are bots. Let's go to Rich in Olney. Rich, what's up?
Morning, guys.
Hey, Rich. Buddy.
You can challenge JP, too, if you want. I have a few names.
Good, because I'm also running out.
Yeah.
I'm, like, doing research on my phone.
I'm gonna roll with EB.
All right.
I've got one. Tom Hanks, legendary Hollywood actor.
You say Tom Hanks?
Yep.
Tom Hanks, yeah.
He is 62?
All right. Rich is in at 62.
That's a really good guess. I'm going to go to play the game. Could be older and just look silly, but I'm going to go 61.
Ebius Bizzle nailed it. He's 61.
61.
Sorry,
I would have guessed upper 50s.
Yep, 61.
Oh, 61.
Sorry, buddy. Turns out this is my wheelhouse game.
Apparently it's your go-to.
You liked him in the post, right?
I did. I like that movie.
Yeah.
I just overall like that movie. Let's go to Josh, Prince Frederick. Josh, what's up, man?
What's up, John?
Hey, buddy.
Hello, Josh.
Josh, who do you want to challenge?
Hey, I'll challenge JP.
All right, we'll go with your namesake, Josh. How old is Josh Brolin?
Josh Brolin is, because he looked good at Stannis. Let's see.
Take a stab 50. At it. 60?
All right, he's in at 50. 60.
50.
50.
Oh, he said 50.
No, he can't play the game any longer because he nailed it. He's a winner.
Well, he can play the game. It's just, he's a winner. What has he won?
He
we have
wins.
Multiple prizes.
He gets a pair of tickets to the MLB All-Star Fan Fest coming to the Walter E. Washington Convention Center July 13th through the 17th. Tickets on sale now through MLB.com, but you win your way in all week long with 106.7 The Fan. Get your details at thefandc.com/contest.
We still have the Nicki Minaj tickets to give away, Cakes.
We do.
I would have guessed our age, which is not far. I would guess 47. That guy looks good for somebody who's 50.
Speak for yourself. I'm 48, Rick. Let's go to Heather Dumfries. Heather, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey Heather. Heather's great. She's always listening, always chiming in on the game.
We appreciate that.
All right, who do you want to challenge, Heather?
EB.
All right.
All right, EB. A guy from our heyday. How old is actor Eric Estrada from...
Ooh.
Chips.
All right.
Chip the Chips.
Wow.
What do you think, Heather? Do you even know who Eric Estrada is?
Yes, because I'm 50 myself. Right. Let me think. I'll say...
Is it Ponch?
Ponch.
Correct.
Yeah, on a 64.
All right. That's a Heather's really good 64?
Guess. Yeah.
EB?
Ponch. When I was a teenager, he was probably in the early 20s. I'm going to say 65.
EB's closer. He is 69 years old.
60. He's almost 70.
Almost 70.
Jeez Louise.
Wow.
Sorry, Heather.
Thank you, Heather.
Okay.
Good attempt.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. Good guess.
We've won every game, all for the one where the guy nailed it in the initial guess.
Correct.
I'm telling you, it's my wheelhouse
game. Just, turns out we're just kind of silly.
Silly at birthdays. JR, what's up, man? Y'all with the Junks. Who do you want to challenge?
More JP.
All right.
How old is former Bullet Purvis Ellison?
Ooh.
Former number one overall draft pick. Never nervous, Purvis.
JR, you're up first.
72.
What? That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. He's already a loser.
I'm going to guess he's 45.
Clearly, you're closer. He's 51 years old.
He's 51.
Wow, Purvis is 51.
Yes, Ricky, get your tombstone ready.
I was trying to figure out if he was older or younger than
us. Purvis.
I'd forgotten.
He's 51. I would have guessed like 44. I would have guessed he was younger than us.
All right, here's the new rank
45.
We're going to add AWOD to the list of people you can challenge. So you can challenge any of the three Junks or...
We don't get winners in this game.
Donkity Donk AWOD.
All we're trying to do is give away prizes easily.
By the way, I'm watching Tiger. He must have hit one in the drink because now
he hit one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hit one in.
On 11.
Yeah. Trunk slam.
In the cabbage.
No, he's going to be fine. He's 100 birds for soul. He's going to be fine, but he's up and down. Who got to punch up a new guy, right? Let's go to David in Gaithersburg. Hey, David.
Hey there. I'll go with AWOD.
Yes. Go for
AWOD. All right,
very
AWOD, I'm
going
to give you a chance.
All right.
And I'll let you go first. I usually pull guys kind of in the news. Greg Popovich has recently had meetings with Kawhi Leonard, who may be traded from the Spurs. How old is Greg Popovich?
Greg Popovich is 72.
Right. We now go to the contestant, David in Gaithersburg.
He's awfully old.
He looks old.
Seems like a really high guess.
David?
I'm going to go with 71.
He is 69 years old. We have a winner.
You're a loser.
You're a winner, sir.
I should have guessed 69.
You get a pair of tickets to see Nicki Minaj and Future live in concert September 23rd at Capital One Arena. Tickets on sale now through LiveNation.com, Ticketmaster, and the Capital One Arena box office. But you can win your way in on 106.7 The Fan. Your details are at thefandc.com.
Facebook.com/contests.
All right, this one just for EB and Cakes. And what we'll do, I think we have another pair of tickets. We'll just do the 10th caller at 800-636-1067. It's a drab. You can clear the deck, hook up the 10th caller with the tickets to go see Nicki Minaj in Future.
Is this for pride or is this for a dollar?
I mean, for pride.
What's at stake here?
If you guys want to put up a dollar, go ahead.
Pride is fine. I'll keep my dollar.
Recently, we had Biz Markie in studio.
Okay.
Kind of his contemporary, Big Daddy Kane.
Oh, I thought you were going to do Biz.
How old is Big Daddy Kane? Would you like to go first or second here, EB?
I'll go first.
Okay.
To be fair, you guys probably should both just write it down.
Okay.
Why?
And we'll see closest to. Because going second is such a huge advantage. You just go higher or lower.
All right.
All right, I've got my number in.
I'll probably be wrong.
EB looked like he was cheating on your paper, Cakes.
That's fine.
You're just trying to get the pen.
Got my number. I'm all in on Big Daddy Kane's age. I have 53.
I have 55.
He's a young man, 49.
Oh,
really?
My God.
He's our age.
He's my age. I'm going to die. Can't believe Big Daddy Kane's my age.
All right, coming up next, Julie Donaldson from NBC Sports Washington joins us here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.